Well, it's nice to have you with us on the Ben Ferguson podcast. And today's show is going to be one that you're going to want to share with your family and your friends. As you know, we've been kicked off Facebook, so please make sure you share this podcast and help us fight back against big tech. And speaking of fighting back against big tech, we are going to be joined by U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty to talk about new legislation to rein in big tech for silencing conservatives like myself. So we're going to have that for you in a moment. And we're going to talk to him about the shocking new information about the CDC, a total lack of trust within the CDC. Now, the CDC has been busted because of their guidance that they put out for school reopening. And the wording that was in their guidance was specifically written by the teachers' union. Now, how am I supposed to trust the CDC and all their guidance on COVID-19, which we should want to trust the CDC? We should want it to be non-political if we now know that their guidance is specifically being written by unions. Now, the CDC is compromised now. It's a politicized agency, and we have the proof. Now, I got to give credit to Washington Post because they're the ones that actually broke this story. Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican, called for people to disregard the advice of the CDC on reopening schools now after we found out that the CDC was being lobbied by the teachers union to give them cover so they wouldn't have to go back to work, go back to school to educate your children. Now, I want you to hear about this report from Fox News. I'm going to let you hear part of what Senator Tom Cotton had to say, because if you're trying to get people in this country to get vaccinated, if you're trying to encourage people to get on board with vaccines, you lose all credibility in this administration when we find out the guidance coming from the Center for Disease Control, supposed to be totally non-political, is writing and putting out guidance that is being written by the teachers' union so they don't have to go back to work. How would I trust them after that point? Now, take a listen to this report from Fox and what Tom Cotton had to say.
Senator Tom Cotton is on deck with us today to weigh in on all of it. He'll join me moments from now. First, let's go straight to the White House. Our correspondent Peter Ducey is there with more on the top story. Peter.
Harris, good morning. The American Federation of Teachers got what they wanted after sending this email to the CDC that has now been published by the New York Post. It said in part, it would be great to see the insertion, some variation of the following. In the event high community transmission results from a new variant of SARS-CoV-2, a new update of the guidelines may be necessary. And that last part, in quotes, wound up in the official CDC guidance. Records of political donations on opensecrets.org find that the American Federation of Teachers and their affiliates donated millions to liberal groups last cycle, and leadership claims they lobbied Trump officials last year more than Biden officials this year, with this quote. The AFT represents 1.7 million educators, healthcare professionals, and public employees who spent the last 14 months serving on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. So naturally, we have been in regular touch with the agencies setting policy that affect their work and lives, including the CDC. Most states moved teachers to the front of the line for vaccines months ago, but many have resisted going back so far. And now Republicans are pressuring the president to send them back.
I mean, all the president has to do is stand up and be very firm. The teachers aren't the problem. It's their leadership. It's the teacher unions. I think the unions are holding out for more pay. In the meantime, our children get hurt. And what's so avoidable and a shame about all this is President Biden can fix it. He says he's the education president.
Let me just jump in here for a second and realize very clearly what we've allowed to happen. You have a teachers union that lobbies. They go to the CDC, which should not be able to be lobbied, I would argue. The CDC should never have their guidance come out, much less be written verbatim by any union. I don't care if you're Republican or liberal. But all this does is add a massive cloud of doubt or a reason for people to, A, not get vaccinated, and B, not trust the government. Because when you find out that the teachers union is writing the guidance that's supposed to be dealing with COVID-19 for the Centers for Disease Control, you say, well, what else are they lying to me about? What else is crap that they're telling me? What other mandates and other things that they're doing that are totally full of crap? Why am I going to get a vaccine? I don't trust you. Hell, I can't even trust the CDC. The CDC is literally trying to get pay raises for the teachers unions. They're trying to give cover to the teachers unions. The teachers unions are the one writing the guidance that's supposed to be based in science on diseases. So how the hell do you expect us to listen to anything that this administration says? Now, this goes back to an issue of trust. Joe Biden has been sending so many mixed signals. It's gotten to the point where you just got to take you just got to laugh. I'll give you a great example. This is the dude that's walking around outside after he's already been vaccinated by himself, putting a mask on. This is the guy that can't find his mask. So other people without masks and with masks are trying to help him find his mask and putting their hands over everything that could be filled with COVID to get him his mask to put it back on his face. This is the same guy that puts out a picture from the White House showing him and his wife not wearing masks next to a former president, Jimmy Carter, and his wife without masks on, clearly not 6 feet apart or even 3 feet apart. But while he's outside, he's wearing a mask. This is the insanity. Biden is a guy that is supposed to show some leadership here. Now, if what is the point of getting a vaccine is the question that the White House should be asking themselves if we can't go back to life as normal. If you're telling me I got to wear a mask everywhere, well, whereas then all of a sudden the guidance comes out that I don't have to wear a mask outside if I've been double vaccinated, if I've had two shots, right? What is it? What is it that this Biden administration is trying to tell us? Because their guidance is literally all over the place. Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? When do you wear a mask? Inside, outside, far apart, close together? Is it okay to not wear a mask when you're taking pictures with a really old man by the name of Jimmy Carter and his wife? But then you got to put the mask on when you go back outside by yourself? Is the CDC even giving us any truth at all because their mask mandates and their guidance for opening our schools is solely is being directed and specifically written by the teachers union? The point is, how can you trust anything that any of these people are telling you? And if you're a little bit paranoid or skeptical, this is not going to work out well. Because people are going to exploit this and use this to their advantage and say, see, this is why I don't get vaccinated. Can you blame them? There are so many Americans that are looking for a reason to not trust the government, and with good reason. And every single time you have a president walk out there wearing a mask outside by himself, but not wearing a mask in a photo with Jimmy Carter, but wearing a mask at the White House around people, it looks like it's all a photo op. It looks like it's all BS. You know, Joe Biden was in Yorktown, Virginia on Monday, and a fifth grader described virtual learning as, quote, nap time. To his face! That should be enough for this president to step in and go, okay, we got to get kids back to school, right? You got a fifth grader, kids say the darndest things, looking at the president of the United States of America and telling him virtual learning is nothing more than nap time, which is the truth. Now, Joe Biden could fix this problem if he wanted to. He could tell the teachers' unions to go to hell. And he could immediately fix this problem and get them back to work. But he's not doing it, and he's not doing it for a reason, because he wants their votes. He can't tell them what they need to do. That's not possible. They're the ones telling the CDC how to write the guidance so they can get a pay raise and not have to work while they're demanding that you change the entire world of education, all in the name of COVID, when they were the ones that we put to the front of the line. Remember, we valued the teachers more than anybody else in this country to get COVID vaccines. That's a fact. That's what actually happened. That is a fact. The teachers we put ahead of other people in this country. And even then, the public school teachers said, screw you. We ain't teaching. We ain't going to work. We ain't going to do our jobs because we have power. And we write the guidance for the CDC. I mean, the CDC should have total overhaul at this moment. This is when the CDC should say, or the president should say, okay, we've got to reform the CDC. There needs to be complete overhaul of the CDC because this is nothing more than a woke organization that is not based in science but based on political pressure. If you don't believe me, let's get back to this report from Fox, and then you're going to hear Tom Cotton.
And a New York Times opinion piece today makes the case that because school reopenings affect parents' ability to go back to work and parenting disproportionately, parenting responsibilities disproportionately fall on women, that reopening could become the biggest gender equality issue of the year. Harris.
Peter Ducey, thank you very much. I want to bring in Senator Tom Cotton, Republican from Arkansas. And let's get started right there, Senator. You know, is this a case of the Biden administration simply copying the homework of the teachers union?
Harris, it's good to be on with you. The CDC is a thoroughly politicized agency. Most Americans disregard their advice on things like steaks and hamburgers and beers. Increasingly, they should disregard their advice when it comes to school reopening. Schools need to be open. Schools have been open in Arkansas 5 days a week in person since last August, and it's been largely fine. That's been the case all across the country as well. We shouldn't have a politicized public health bureaucracy like the CDC answering at the beck and call of the teachers' unions. We need kids back in school, and back in real school, not sitting in a classroom doing a Zoom session with teachers who are not in the classroom. We need kids in schools with their teachers now.
I want to get to this, and it has to do with the mask wearing, because we're seeing some of that mixed messaging from the president of the United States, and him even getting some special treatment. He is the president, they say. More protection than the rest of us who are fully vaccinated. Writer Barry Weiss wrote this: masks have become a totem in the culture war. There is no virtue being permanently masked. There is no virtue in demanding zero risk. If there were, we would never jump in a swimming pool or get into a car. Get vaccinated and then get used to wearing hard pants, brushing your hair and your teeth, and meeting friends outside of Zoom. Senator Cotton, your reaction.
Dr. Fauci says we need to keep wearing masks indefinitely. Dr. Fauci, once again, is wrong. Almost half of all American adults are now vaccinated, Harris. And it's been a couple weeks since all Americans became eligible. So by the end of May, anybody who wants a vaccine will have had a chance to get it and to have it become fully effective. There is zero reason to be wearing masks outdoors. Joe Biden, when he walks from the White House to the Marine One helicopter, should take off his mask and show Americans that it's fine to start getting back to normal. We're increasingly reaching the point, Harris, where people are more worried about getting the vaccine than they are worried about getting an appointment for the vaccine. One way to encourage people to get the vaccine would be to show that once you have it, you can get back to your normal life. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to keep social distancing. You can go back to your normal pre-coronavirus way of life. That's what most Americans are hoping for. That's why people who are vaccinated fully should take off the masks and get back to normal.
You know, Senator
By the way, I love how Senator Cotton is saying this. What's the incentive? Right? What is the incentive here? What is it? What is the incentive? Tell me what it is. If I'm going to have to go out there and get this vaccine, you're telling me I still got to get a mask. What is the point? What are we doing here? Right? What is the point here? I don't get it. I think most people don't get it either. I think most people have no clue what's happening here. And they're confused. And this guidance coming from this White House and the missed messages coming from the president, and then him not correcting the record when the record should be corrected when it comes to our public schools and the CDC totally being taken over by teachers' unions, and the guidance coming directly from the teachers' unions. People should be losing their minds. Mothers should be losing their minds. Single parents should be losing their minds, because what we have learned is that the CDC is for sale to the highest bidder. You can influence, you can change, you can do whatever the hell you want. You can send them the words you want in their guidance on COVID-19 to get you a raise, and they'll do it. That is corruption at the highest level. Why would I trust the CDC on anything they tell me moving forward? Why would anybody trust the CDC at this point? You got a president that's all over the place on recommendations. I mean, literally all over the place. Why would you trust any of them at the White House when it comes to this? Because this has been going on for over a year. I got my second COVID shot. Doesn't mean you need to get your first. I want to make that clear. I'm not advocating for you getting your shot. I'm saying for me, for my medical history, I decided to get it. If you don't get it, that's your choice. That's what freedom is, or what it's supposed to be. But what I will say is this. If the goal and the objective is of the White House to get the American people to back to normal, then when you get the vaccine, you should let us get back to normal. When you don't let us get back to normal, what the hell do you think people are going to do? They're going to think this whole thing's a ruse. They're going to reject what you're asking them and advocating and supporting and wanting them to do, right? You're going to reject it. You're going to say, the hell with you. You're going to reject it. And then you have a lot of people that go unvaccinated. And it's just because you guys aren't being honest. And then when the CDC comes out with guidance on something in the future, you think people are going to listen to that and trust it? Probably not. They're probably not going to listen to you because they're going to say, the guys are foolish. You know what? You can't trust them. Hell, the teachers' unions are the ones that wrote the guidance on when the schools can be reopened. That's how little you can trust them. All right, joining me now to talk about this and several other issues, including reigning in big tech, is U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today. Tomorrow, this Facebook oversight board is going to announce whether or not Donald Trump will once again be allowed to post on the company's platform. If I'm Donald Trump, I say screw you to Facebook and never put anything up there again, or I mess with them and taunt them one way or the other. But this just shows you how big of a problem we have in this country with big tech. I've been silenced after seeing you at CPAC. You and I did an interview, and little did we know while you and I were chatting down there, they were getting ready to silence us and cite us for a bunch of random stuff that doesn't even make sense. I'm not the only one. There were others at CPAC that spoke out against big tech that were silenced within hours as well. What are we doing now to fight back, or are we just going to lose this battle?
We're not going to lose the battle, but it takes voices like yours and mine, Ben, to stand up to it. By the way, it was great to be with you at CPAC. I thought it was a terrific CPAC. I thought you did a terrific job, and just shocked they would send
12 hours. I mean, you land on the plane, and it's like, and the warnings immediately come, and you're like, we land, and we're like, we got cited for, quote, inauthentic behavior. And we're like, what is inauthentic? I'm Ben Ferguson. I have a page called Ben Ferguson. I post as Ben Ferguson. And we can't even get a response from Facebook about what their definition of inauthentic behavior is. We've read it, right? We know what inauthentic behavior means by their definition. There's nothing we did that was, quote, inauthentic. But this just shows you the power of big tech. You speak out against them, and they say, and again, I'll read it to you. It says, your page is at risk of being unpublished as reduced distribution and other restrictions due to continued community standard violations. So we asked them this. What violations of the community standards did we violate? We have no reason. We have nothing. They've told us literally nothing. They also said our page was had, quote, reduced distribution and other restrictions because of repeated sharing of false news. We've asked them to show us what the false news content was that we, quote, shared. Nothing back. And then a big red line at the top. Page is at risk of being unpublished. And then after that, bam, it's gone.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And again, they hide behind Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act to do all of this. And what my legislation will require is that they publicize the criteria that they use to, quote, mitigate on their website. But they need to make this criteria clear, and it needs to be evenly deployed. And if they don't, they need to be responsible and liable for that. If you think about it, they'll silence you, Ben. They'll silence the President of the United States. But they'll let Ayatollah Khomeini talk about death to Israel and talk about how to do it on Twitter, on their platform. So it really is just an incredible double standard that's being applied on a fairly routine basis.
Are there other conservatives like yourself that are really paying attention to this? You look at the governor down in Florida, DeSantis, who has said, all right, you ban an elected official. It's up to a $250,000 fine per day. He's not screwing around. Is it going to take other states doing that? Tennessee's governor, for example, I think should look at what they're doing down in Florida and other states. But is that the other way we're going to fight this, as a state-by-state scenario?
I think we should fight it on all fronts. You know, I'm leading the charge in the U.S. Senate And there are a number of us that want to see this dealt with at that level. But we're in a 50-50 situation in the U.S. Senate right now, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans. And because the Democrats control the gavel, thanks to Kamala Harris, it's going to be a much tougher fight for this right now. We got to win the Senate back. I think we'll see things change. I feel good about the House as well. But also, I think Democrats, if they really thought about this, look, this is impending on their free speech. No one should want this, and we should find a way to address it. And I think the way I'm looking at doing it, that is treating these big tech companies like common carriers. We've got precedent for this. It's a way to ensure non-discriminatory access for all of these platforms.
When you look at the left, and I know you've got some friends that are in the Democratic Party, there's no way you can work in D.C. without having colleagues that you become friendly with. Is the reason why they're not coming out against big tech simply because they know that it always helps them? It's in their best interest to have Republicans silenced and nobody else silenced. I look at the total quietness from the left, and I laugh because I'm like, get ready, because they're going to come for you too one day. You're going to say something they disagree with, and they're going to shut you down. They're going to silence you. You just don't realize yet it's coming.
I've had this discussion multiple times, and the Democrat colleagues that we work with on the other side of the aisle in the Senate, I think you're right. They've been the net beneficiary of this up until now, but the winds can change. Tides can turn. They could find themselves on the receiving end of this, and they need to think hard about that as they look at the legislation that I put forward and proposed, because I'm talking about non-discriminatory access. This is something that would allow a very even-handed treatment of these big tech companies. I think people realize that they've taken far too much control. It's been far too opaque. And again, applying a policy like this to you, Ben, after our discussions at CPAC, it's indefensible. And in fact, they haven't defended themselves, right? They haven't answered you. They just apply this on a whim. They'll have to answer if we force them to disclose their criteria and hold them accountable for it.
I want to switch gears. There's a shocking report that came out yesterday, and there's been a lot of conservatives like myself that have been very frustrated with Republicans on the House side for not doing more to rein in big tech. Even when we had the votes to do something, they were looking the other way. A report comes out yesterday that's been confirmed by Kevin McCarthy's office that he actually is roommates, literal roommates, with Luntz, a pollster who is one of the biggest advocates/lobbyists works for Google. And there was a lot of outrage last night when this story broke that Frank Luntz is roommates with Kevin McCarthy. He's one of the top guys that Google depends on to make sure that legislation doesn't happen that would rein them in with our privacy and with what they allow to happen on their platform. Are you concerned about this, the fact that you've got the leader of the Republicans on the House side who's literal roommates with one of the top lobbyists for Google?
Well, I was unaware of that relationship, but I've got to believe that Kevin McCarthy sees it the same way I do in terms of the reign that big tech holds over our free speech. It's such a fundamental principle of American democracy. I can't imagine that there'd be any amount of influence that could dissuade him from standing up for our free speech and standing up against these big tech companies. I mean, in 2020, then it was so obvious to all American people that this has gotten out of control.
Oh, you even saw, Senator, new studies that show that prominent conservative voices on Facebook in the month leading up to the election had the lowest reach they'd had in 2 to 3 years, which means that what Facebook did is they said, just said, we're gonna suffocate you. We're going to choke you out. So even if you're putting out information that clearly people are going to care about now more than ever, because we're in the month of the actual election, no one's going to see what you post. And we also been told that on the left, their information, when they put out a post on Facebook, skyrocketed in reach, almost unlimited reach compared to what we were dealing with.
Yeah, they control the knobs and the dials. They can dial it up and down. And I tell you, nothing, you mentioned this. The New York Post story on Hunter Biden, I mean, that was the most egregious example I can think of around the 2020 election. That was uncovering mass corruption within the family of the Democrat presidential candidate. That didn't just get dialed down. That got snuffed out. You couldn't find it. You couldn't show it to a friend. They buried that story before the election. I think that may be the most egregious example I can think of, Ben. That is, of course, next to silencing you.
I want to get to another point real quick, and that is about the CDC for a moment here. The CDC is, Tom Cotton, one of your colleagues, has said the CDC is a thoroughly politicized agency. After we saw that the teachers union directly asked for certain wording to be put in the school reopening guidelines, and the exact wording of an email, and this is, I got to give credit to the Washington Post for putting this out there, the exact wording that the teachers unions demanded be put in the CDC guidelines was put in verbatim so that schools, public school teachers, unions could say, CDC says we can't do this, or CDC saying we shouldn't do this. Therefore, we're going to hold you hostage. We're not going to go back to school. We're going to teach over Zoom. And until you give us more money, hazard pay and other things, we're not going to educate our kids, and you're still going to have to employ us and pay us.
Yeah, Randy Weingarten should be setting the policy at the CDC. She's the head of the teachers union in America and one of the most partisan organizations, lobbying organizations that fund only Democrats. They should be setting CDC policy. It's just absurd. It just shows the reach of the unions in the Democrat Party and the fact that they've gotten into bureaucracies that should absolutely not be politicized. This is very unfortunate.
Well, how do you trust the CDC now if you're the American people? I don't. I mean, if you look at how political they are as an organization, I don't know how anyone now can take them seriously.
Well, that's the danger of this. Allowing this stuff to become politicized, I think, has led to lower uptake in vaccines than I'd like to see. We've got situation here in Tennessee, Ben, where we've got a large number of folks that have not been vaccinated. And I think they're very concerned about the information they're getting, whether it's accurate, that sort of thing. The CDC is tainting its reputation when it's engaging in this manner in partisan activities.
My guest with me, U.S. Senator from Tennessee, Bill Hagerty. And Senator, I want to switch quickly to the crisis at the border. We're being told now that internal emails are showing that apparently the staff of the vice president, the woman who's supposed to be dealing with the crisis at the border, have showed that they are purposely not trying to fix the issue at the border because, quote, it would go against their core supporters and what they want. In other words, they would alienate their supporters if they actually fixed the crisis of the border. So therefore, it is an open border on purpose. There is no intention to stop this anytime soon and or fix this. Your reaction to this, and what do we have to do to respond? And is there anything we can do to stop this?
You know, the fact that their supporters want lawlessness isn't an excuse to generate lawlessness. They've created a massive humanitarian crisis down there. And as you say, they're doing nothing about it. What they're really trying to do is just accelerate the processing of the people coming across the border so that they can do away with the photo op situation down there. They're trying to minimize the crisis at the border because they're putting people on planes and sending them to the interior of the United States. I was talking with a friend of mine here in Tennessee just earlier this week, yesterday, and he was telling me about his friends. He's from a place called Harlingen, Texas, which is right down on the border, and that every flight coming out of there full of people that look like they just came off of one of these, migration trains. And they are processing, they're doing everything they can to just accelerate the processing of these people, nothing to deal with the fact that they have destroyed all border security, nothing to deal with the fact that we've got an influx of fentanyl, of methamphetamine, heroin coming across that border. You've got human trafficking that's taking place. The coyotes, as they call them, the cartels that are running all this stuff are running a multi-billion-dollar business down there, trafficking in human beings, drugs, and misery. And this is what the Biden administration is allowing to happen right now. It took years to negotiate the Stay in Mexico policy that President Trump put in place, and it was working.
It was. There's always a cause and effect to this, and there was an interesting article that came out this morning titled South Texas Hispanic Females Turning the Rio Grande Valley Red. If I were the Democrats, I would be very afraid. South Texas Hispanic females are leading the charge to turn the Democratic stronghold of the Rio Grande Valley red. The New York Times even argued Sunday that President Joe Biden's victory with only 15 percentage points in the Rio Grande Valley is presumably due to Hispanic females who disagree with the Democratic Party over social issues and open borders. Now, Hillary Clinton won in a steep slide by 39% in 2016. They're even sick of what's happening and the amount of drugs, human trafficking, sex trafficking, and the cartels that are coming across, the MS-13 gang members in the Rio Grande Valley. They've had enough of this. Could this backfire?
I think it could. And if you think about the values that these people hold, they're concerned about the same thing that you're concerned about, Ben, that I'm concerned about. They don't want to see their families destroyed. They don't want to see their livelihoods taken apart. They want to be able to compete fairly for a job, not have somebody come across the border and keep pressure on their wages, keep them low. They want to live their lives like Americans. And what's happening right now is complete destruction of their way of life. And I think if the Biden administration felt like these were conservative folks coming across the border that might vote Republican where they registered, there'd be a completely different approach to all of this. They'd be locking that border down as fast as they could.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of borders, we've got an announcement from Canada, and I want to get your take on this lastly. Canada, we're being told, being reported by Forbes, will require using a vaccine passport for entry. I won't be visiting Canada now, I can tell you that, but this is what Canada's going to be doing.
Well, I think this is, Canada is essentially a socialist country. And I think you see all of these countries that want to have government control of our lives. This is the type of authoritarian approach that they use. That's the way this Democrat Party is moving as well. They seem to be far more sympathetic with these socialist governments, communist governments, authoritarian governments that want more government control, because that's what they're trying to do with all of the policies they're putting forward, is just to insert the government deeper and deeper into the lives of Americans.
Yeah, I mean, Canada is going to say, of course, this is the new normal, right? It's just normal to force you to get a vaccine, force you into what we tell you you must do. In this country, you look at the CDC and how they're being controlled. Their guidance, which is supposed to be for disease control, is actually coming from the teachers' unions. You look at the president of the United States of America. He's walking around outside by himself with a mask on, which I think undermines his advocacy for people to get the vaccine. And there's mixed signals coming everywhere, but it's about power and control. And there's a lot of Americans that I'm afraid are not going to get this vaccine solely from a terrible messaging we've gotten from this president.
You know, you make a great point on that, Dan. And I saw that as well. President Biden comes out, takes off his mask, tells people if you get the vaccine, you're allowed to wear your mask outside in small groups, puts his mask back on again outside and walks back away alone. It sends a terrible message. What's the incentive for people to get vaccinated if they can't trust the messaging that they're getting from their own government?
Yeah,
it's really a problem.
No doubt. Senator, I again appreciate you coming on the podcast today. And a quick reminder to all of you that are listening, as you just heard us talk about, we've been silenced by social media. So we ask every day for your help. Please share this podcast with your family and friends. Help us grow. Big Tech is hoping that this podcast will not grow. That's why they've silenced us. So we are asking you to get involved. So take a screenshot of this podcast. Please write us a review. Subscribe to this podcast and help us grow. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And thanks again for all your help and support.